If you would this morning, I'd like for you to turn to 1 John, the 4th chapter. 1 John, the 4th chapter. You know, I thought about something as I was studying for the sermon. You know, there's two types of discernment in every individual. Well, actually, whenever you're born, there's only one type of discernment. That's a natural, that's a humanistic discernment. You know what? If you get saved, then you have a spiritual discernment. And that's what we're going to talk a little bit about this morning. We're going to talk about trying the spirits. It goes pretty much right along with what Greg was teaching here this morning. This is something that's been on my heart for a while, and the Lord put this upon my heart to try to get this together, and I did it. And Lord, when I hope when we get down through this, I hope at the end of it we can understand what it's talking about when it says try the spirits. Let us read, starting with 1 John chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. We're going to read down to the 6th verse, and it says this. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. Hereby know ye that the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of the Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. I'm just going to tell you that before I pray here this morning. That last part of that is the basis and the truth of what I'm going to try to preach on this morning. You know what? Know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And I hope and pray that all of us can discern between that. Let us pray. Father, as we come here this morning, I pray, Father, that, Lord, that you would help us, Father, as we get ready for this sermon, Lord. I pray, Father, that you would show us, Lord, that the anointing would be upon us, Father. Lord, we pray, Father, that this morning, that, Lord, that you know that you would go through this congregation this morning. I pray, Father, that hearts and minds and souls would be opened up here this morning, Lord. If there's anyone here that doesn't know you, you know, as the scripture says, today is the day of salvation, and we believe that wholeheartedly in our lives. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would do that and that you would have it. And we ask it all in Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. You know, as it said there, you know, there is a spirit of truth and there is a spirit of error. And you know what? For Christian people, we should be able to discern what that truth is and what the spirit of error is and what the spirit of truth is. You know, one of the things that I'm going to tell you here this morning, that a person that is not born again, that is natural discernment, cannot understand the things of God whatsoever. They cannot understand it. There are things that I would preach to you. There are things that you've heard. You know, even the basic plan of salvation. You know, to so many people, whenever they hear that, that is strange to them. They don't understand what it is. They don't think that. They think it's nonsense. Because a natural man cannot understand the spiritual things of God. Remember back in the garden, remember back in Genesis in the Garden of Eden, and you know it said that they had ate of the tree of knowledge between good and evil. They did eat of that. But God said, you know what, we've got to keep them from eating of the tree of life. If they eat of that tree, then they'll be as gods. And a person can discern between good and wrong. A person can do that. But to truly know what God is talking about, when you get into His Word, you've got to be born again and you've got to have the Spirit of God in your life. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says this. If you want to turn there, that's fine. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Forget this. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Like I said, a person that does not know Jesus, a person that is not saved, cannot understand the things of God. You know what? That's why the Bible says, you know what? That the Spirit of God will draw those unto them. That you know what? That if the Spirit of God's dealing with them, that's when it's time to come and get to know Him. Because right then and there, and once you accept Him into your heart, then the Bible can become clear to you. Then the things of God can become clearer to you. the preaching of the cross of salvation, I'm telling you, it's foolishness. It simply does not make sense to the lost people. It will not, and it never will make sense to them. The Bible cannot be understood until the Spirit of God opens up our minds. Listen, as a preacher that has preached for years and has taught for years, there are some things in the Bible that God has not even revealed even to me at this time. And maybe He hasn't to you. But praise God, I do understand the basics of salvation. I do understand that we need to be born again, that the blood of Jesus Christ has to be applied to our lives. And there are some people in this world where that is simply just foolishness to them. It is simply just foolishness. Only the Spirit of God can take the things of Christ and make them understandable to us. That's it. Only the Spirit of God. Turn with me to John 16, 13 and 14. John 16, 13 and 14. It says, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whosoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will shew all things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall shew it unto you. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into all truths." Listen. As I said, if you want to understand the Word of God, if you want to know what it's about, the Spirit of God will guide you, Christians. He'll guide you into all truths. Amen? He'll do that if we really go in a sincere right and turn to Him. He will guide us to all truths. Folks, the moment Jesus comes into our hearts, there is a change in our life. The natural man, the natural discernment that we have, from that point on, we put a spiritual discernment to it. And that is totally, 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us this. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." You get tired of hearing me say this, but the night that I got saved, all things became new. All things became new that night. I'm just here to tell you. I'm here to tell you. If you have got a relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, the moment that you got that relationship, all things became new. Amen. Amen. They should have became new in your life. Discernment, the things that you before were doing, I'm telling you, all things should have come into focus, into light, and your trust and your heart and everything that you had should have been focused on Jesus Christ. The way we think, the way we act, the way we looked. And all that I say, all the way we looked, you know what? I can remember this. People knew that I had changed. I looked the same. But they knew I changed from the way that, from the instant of the Spirit coming out, and the way that I evidently had looked before the what I was before. But praise God, people understood the way that it was, the way that we look. Folks, today's message is not easy. And I'm going to get into it a little bit here in a little bit. Part of discernment involves speaking the truth. And I'm going to speak the truth to you here in just a little bit. Because you know what? I want to add a caveat to that. Can I do that? That discernment has to be biblical. It has to be. Because I believe that, that there are things out there in this world today, you know what, that are not of God. I believe that they are being taught and they're preached in churches. And I believe that, you know what, and the discernment of some people has went out of the way and they don't understand what's going on. First off, when you look at 1 John 4:1, do you realize that that is a commandment? That's not if you want to or if you don't want to. You see what it says here? Beloved, are you a Christian here this morning? Amen. If you're a Christian, you're beloved. Amen? You are beloved. God loves you. Don't let anybody tell you that you're not loved if you're a Christian, because it says beloved right here. Believe not every spirit. Do what it says, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. That is not an option there, folks. He's saying we are to try the spirits, is what he says. We're trying to figure out what is right and what is wrong. Beloved, not every spirit, but try them. John wrote this because he was upset. John wrote this because he was upset with what he seen was going on in the church back in his day. I'm here to tell you today, what I see going on in the church world today, what I see on television, what I hear on radio, it upsets me. And it should upset you. It should upset you. Because you know what? It says, try the spirits. See whether or not they are of God. When it comes to concerning Christ, And God, the Spirit just starts turning and dealing with me and saying, you know what? I don't know about that. I don't know if that's right. I don't know about that. But you know what it makes me do? We're not supposed to be heresy hunters. We're not supposed to be that. But what it should make us do whenever those spiritual bells go off inside of us, we should want to dig and we want to search and we should want to find out if what that person said is the truth. If it is what the Word of God said and if it's what the Spirit is dealing us to deal with. You know, because there are things in my life, I'll tell you this, that sometimes I've heard and the spiritual bells have went off and I got to looking and you know what? That person was right. But there has been times in my life when it has went off and I got to look and I said, oh no, that is not right. But every Christian that's in here this morning should have that within them, that whenever they hear or something goes off, that you know what, we should want to dig and to find out whether or not that is the truth or not. And it should make us investigate. You know what? And it'll do two things in our life. It'll either confirm what we believe or it'll make us change our mind of what happened down the road. In doing that, we can determine if it's of God or if it is not. There have been times as a pastor, and I want to apologize to this for you this morning. I have said things that the spiritual bells have went off inside of me, and I said, oh no, I should not have said that. Amen? Preachers are not perfect. And there have been times I have said things. And you know what? They've went off because it was not of God. You know what it was? It was the human side of me trying to interject into a sermon something that was on my mind, was something that I believe myself. Not what the Bible's saying, but something that I believe. And those warning bells have went off. And I hope if you've heard me say anything like that, I hope they've went off in you as well. I hope they have. Because God says to me, Dave Long, you don't know it all. You don't know it all. And I don't know it all. And I'll be the first to admit that, but there are times that I have said that. God lets me know that. But you know something? The biggest part of growing as a Christian, the biggest part of it is learning that discerning and letting the Spirit guide us and showing us how to discern some of the things that's going on around us. Let's break it down. It says, beloved, believe not every spirit. May I be bold to say here to you this morning, can I say this to you? When you go to a Christian bookstore, not every book that you can buy in a Christian bookstore is theologically correct. Amen. I'm just here to tell you. I believe that. You can go to a Christian bookstore and you can buy books. Not everything in there is theologically correct. Can I tell you something else? Not everything that you see on Christian television, not everything that you hear on Christian radio is biblical. Amen? Amen. Some of these preachers are just like me. They want to interject what they feel in their own minds and how they look at it without going to the Word of God. And you say, well, you know what? Preacher, you know what you're judging. I'm here to tell you this morning, not every preacher is truly a believer. Amen? Not every preacher, not every teacher is truly a believer. And you say, well, Dave, you're judging. Okay, let's turn to Matthew 7, 21 and 22. This is Jesus talking here. This isn't Dave Long, okay? This is Jesus. Matthew 7, 21 and 22. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. We've heard that scripture, right? Look at verse 22. Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied? Do you know what prophesied means? It means preached. Have we not preached in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Look what verse 23 goes on to say about that. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. That's Jesus. That's our Lord and Savior saying that. I'm here to tell you why I believe what I said is because I believe not every preacher believes in Jesus Christ. I believe not everybody that stands behind a pulpit is right. Not everyone who is taught in the name of Jesus. Not everyone who is going to church. Oh my. Not everyone who is preaching in the name is truly a born-again Christian. And you're sitting back here thinking, well, how can that be? It is that way because there are so many out there that have not discerned rightly in their lives. They have not. Do you realize something? This may be a bad illustration, but I want to bring this out to you. Do you realize that there are counterfeit $20 bills that have floated around? You know that? You realize that? And if I give you a $20 bill, Greg, that you didn't know it was counterfeit, that you could go to Walmart and you could buy groceries for your family. Belinda, I give you a fake $20 bill, and you go down to the, and you may not know, you could go to the drugstore and you could buy medicine for your family, right? See, that fake $20 bill can do some good. It can do some good. But in the hands of one who knows what it is counterfeit. It is fake. God knows. Amen? God knows. He knows. He understands that. That's why I say a $20 bill that is counterfeit, you know what? You could have one of them and you could do a lot of good. But it's immediately, the point I'm trying to make is this. In Isaiah 55:11, you've heard this scripture many a times, many times. Oh, shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I sent it. God's word is going to hit the mark, no matter who puts it out there. Do you understand that? Because it's God's word. Philippians 1. 15 and 18. This is the best example. This is Paul talking. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely. Did you get that? The one preaches Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add afflictions to my bonds. He goes on to say, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. And listen to what Paul says in verse 18 of that. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Listen to me. I'll say it again this morning. Not everyone that cracks the Bible behind a podium and preaches is right, that knows Jesus as their Savior. But you say, well, how's the church doing? Good. Remember, God's Word is going out. And God's Word makes a difference in people's lives. That's what makes a difference, Brother Brian. God's Word. God's Word. You know what? When they stand before God, the counterfeits will be called out for what they are. That's why it's important. That's why it's important. Know that you are where. Know where you stand with God this morning or anytime. Know where you stand. Know where you're at totally in your heart. Because you know what? You may fool a lot of people. You will never fool God. Never, because He is the righteous judge. He is the righteous judge. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? He's talking to me. I don't know it. I don't know a person's heart in here this morning. I don't know where you stand. You could stand up and you could testify. You could do all manner of things. And you know what? You could make me believe that you are the best Christian since sliced bread. But I don't know your heart. You get that? And I'll go one step farther. You don't know mine. Amen? Praise God. That's why we've got to know where we stand and make sure that it is truth. You know what? The Lord searched the heart. It says in verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. That's everybody. You know what? You're not going to stand before God. And I say this a lot, but I'm going to tell you this. This is the truth. You know what? You're not going to stand before God and say, well, that preacher said this. You've got to search it out for yourself. Do you know that? You're not going to stand before God and blame your mom. You're not going to stand before God and blame your dad. You're not going to stand before God and blame your uncle or the church or anybody else, because you stand account for yourself and what is in your life and what you do. He says, according to his ways, according to the fruits of his doing, not anybody else's. Amen? Not because of works. You know what? Not because of works that they had done. You know what? That's not what it says there in Matthew. But because they never knew the Lord as their Savior. He said, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. It's not the works. Works follow. Don't get me wrong. I know works follow a Christian. I know that. But if you're planning on working yourself into heaven, you're not going to get there. You're not going to get there. The last part of that verse says this over in 4:1. Because many false prophets are going out into the world. Because many false prophets are going out into the world. Matthew 24:11 says that many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Folks, I believe we're in the last days. And I believe there's many a false prophet, many a false preacher, many a false teacher out there today that are deceiving many. Because you know why? They do not want to get into the Word of God and figure it out for themselves. They just go, and they are just like sheep. They're there, and they're being led astray. Can I say this? There's a lot of litmus tests for trying out who's true and who's not. But for any preacher, any church, it's simple. What do they teach about Jesus Christ? That is the litmus test right there for any preacher, any church. If someone denies the virgin birth, get away from there as fast as you can.
Amen.
Get out of there. If anybody denies the virgin birth, if they deny the sinless life of Jesus Christ, get out of there.
Amen.
If they deny that Jesus is the Son of the living God, the only Son of the living God, get out of there. If they say he was just a good man, get out of there. I know I'm talking on this thing here, and I hope that there are people out there that hear it. Get out of there. It's unmistakable. That person is a false prophet. They are a false preacher. And that church is not of God. And I will stand and say it. If they deny that Jesus Christ was not born of a virgin, they are not a church of the living God. 2 Corinthians 11:4 says this. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. You know what might well bear with him means? You might be careful with him. You know what I say? Get away from him. Amen? Get away from him. 2 John 7, it says, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the antichrist. If you hear what I just said, somebody preaching that, they are a deceiver. They are one of the get away from them. Turn the radio off. Turn the TV off. Get away from them because that is not right. You know what? And the thing of it is, just like that counterfeit 20, it may look the part. They may look exactly the part. And they may give you a little bit of truth. But praise God, we got to have the whole truth.
Amen. That's right.
We need the whole truth. We need it all. We can't, you know what? We cannot go and just like that counterfeit 20, even unless you know, Jesus knows. But we need to dig as much as we can. I want to tell you something too about these false prophets, these false preachers today, some of them, they're very popular. You know that? They're very popular. It says in 1 John 11:5, if you read down, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Why is that? Because the world loves to be talked to. The world loves to have their ears tickled. You know what? Whenever I was in the world, I wanted to hear what the world had to say. I didn't care much for what the church world had to say. I wanted to hear what the world had to say because you know what? I agreed with them. But praise God, whenever I got saved and I started discerning the truth, I understood, you know what? That's not how it is. And the world will flock to them and the world wants them. And I want to say this to you as well. Popularity does not mean that they're false prophets. I'm going to hear that. Not always. It doesn't mean it. But you know what? Because if they are preaching the truth, popularity can be a good thing. Amen? If they are preaching the truth, popularity can be a good thing. But what we find today is that all too many times when a church, When a preacher becomes popular, when they become popular, and the popularity and the money become like a drug to them, there in turn, all they want to do, you know what? They got to have more and more. And they keep the popularity, keep the money. They start tickling people's ears. They start letting not getting, not giving them all the truth, but letting them hearing parts of the truth. And there in turn, the people, and they think it's great. 2 Peter 2:3. And I'm going to read the NIV version. I got to looking at this, and this is the best translation that I can find of this. 2 Peter 2:3. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with fabricated stories. That's what it means. Amen? That's how it is. Whenever they want to tickle your ears, you know what? They're not going to give you the whole truth. They're not going to give you the whole story. They're going to make it sound like it's really good without giving you the whole truth about it. With fake words, they can take people and take advantage of them and lead them totally down the wrong path. That's how they can do it. You know, in Matthew 7, 15 and 16, beware of false prophets, which is preachers, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but are inwardly as ravening wolves, and ye shall know them by their fruits. And do men gather of grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Folks, a person can look good, can preach good. He may make you feel and maybe look the part, but you know what? They're in sheep's clothing. And let me tell you what a wolf will do to a flock of sheep. You know what they'll do? They can tear it apart. They can tear it apart. And if we are not careful as a church, if you are not careful as a Christian, you hear this stuff, and if you're not digging into it and not asking questions about it, I'm telling you what, he can tear you apart. Way too many people today are like they are in 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. I got a lot of scripture today. Please bear with me. But you know what? I've got a bunch of it today, and we're just going to go with it here. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Did you get that? There are people like that today. There are people just exactly, there are churches like that today. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. There is no such thing anymore, it seems like, where, you know what, in a lot of churches where there is sound doctrine. With so much false doctrine being pushed out there today, you know what? I will say this morning. It's more important that we have rug burns on our knees. Amen? What are you saying? We need to be on our knees praying as much as possible. We should have blisters on our end of our noses for our noses buried in the Word of God. I'm just telling you, with so much being pushed out there today, with so much going on, we should be more than willing to dig ourselves into God's Word, to be on our knees, and to let the Spirit guide and direct us. First part of Isaiah 1:8 says this, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord." You know what? When you're prayed up, when you're read up, those spiritual warning bells go off, you know just exactly how to do it. Amen? Come now, let us reason together. God's given us two things the moment we were saved. You know what? He's still given you a mind that you should use, and he's given you the Spirit that should you be used with it. Amen? He's given us two things that we should use. And I tell you what, too many times whenever those spiritual bells go off, it's too much of emotion goes on and not enough of digging into it and finding out what God has for us to do. Now, there's a thing out there that's called name it and claim it. I'm here this morning. I'm going to talk a little bit about some things. There's some out there that say name it and claim it with TV, with internet, with radio, with social media. The influence of these type of false teaching can be spread faster and farther than ever. If you're sick and you don't have a lot of money, guess whose fault it is? It's your fault. Not enough faith, they'll tell you. Now come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. That's what he says. God has given each of us that mind and that spirit. When you use a conjunction, I'm here to tell you this morning, you know what? It's hard to fool a believer of God. Amen? Now, the things that I believe God, and I want to tell you the things you don't. I believe in God just like the God of the Hebrews described him. I believe in that. I do. I believe he's able to conquer kingdoms. I believe he's able to shut the mouths of lions. I believe he's able to quench the power of fire. I believe he's able to heal. I believe he's able to do all these things. I believe in that kind of a God. I believe there's one that can make people strong that are weak. I believe in that kind of God. Did you hear me this morning? I do. But what I don't believe in is the false teachings of charlatan preachers on television sometimes. They're on every week on TV and on radio and on social media. I don't believe that. Who preach a fake faith, a feel-good gospel, and they teach people that all you need to do is pull a few levers and push a few buttons, and you know what? God will answer every prayer that you put before him. And you know what? All you got to do is, you know what? Because God is, you know what? God's controlled by you, more or less. I've never seen that in my Bible anywhere, by the way. Never have. And you know what? And if it doesn't work, it's your fault because you just don't have enough faith. If you've only learned to visualize, if you've only learned to to visualize, success can be yours. That's what they try to preach. If you had only learned the practice of positive thinking, if you'd only would learn that. Folks, if you'd only learn that, then your life would be so much better. Buy another one of their books. If you had only had properly named in true faith and properly claimed it in true faith, then it would have been yours. That's what they try to preach. If you don't get it, what you prayed for, it's still your fault. If you don't get it, it's still your fault. A woman called a Christian radio station. This is a true story. She'd been going to a church and she'd called in. She's very upset. It was a talk show. She was blind. She'd been blind, I don't know, from birth or if she'd been blind for a while, something happened. Anyway, the people at her church told her the reason that she hadn't been healed of her blindness yet because she didn't have enough faith. And the old man, the man that was sitting there listening to it, he listened to it for a little bit and he told her, he said, listen. He said, the next time one of them tell you, he said, do you have one of those walking sticks that you're blind? And she said, yes. He said, well, the next time one of them tell you that, reach out and hit him in the head with it and ask him, well, if you'd had enough faith, it wouldn't have hurt. Right? Yeah, only if you had enough faith. Everything would be fine. Everything would be good. I want to tell you the definition of true faith. It's found in Daniel, the third chapter. One of my favorite verses, and I say it a good bit around here, but this is the definition of true faith. Remember when Shadrach and Abednego, thank you, was standing before the king, and they wouldn't bow down. Said, "Oh King, we're not afraid to answer you in this subject, but you know what? We're not going to bow before you. We're not going to bow before you whatsoever." He said, "Because the God that I serve, I know He's able to deliver me. But if He doesn't, we're still not going to do it."
That's right. Amen.
That's faith. Amen. That's faith. You know what? You're praying that God will heal you. You know what? Are you still going to serve God? If He don't, you're praying that God will give you that job. Give you that promotion. Are you still going to believe God for what He is? You know what? There's other things going. You know what? We could go right on down the line. But you know what? Guess what? No matter what happens, are you still going to believe in God? That is true faith. That's what true faith is. It's not all this other nonsense that they try to lay out there that if you believe, you know, the God that I serve is not a pop machine God. I just don't go up and push a button and say, God, now I want this, or I want this. Oh, I believe God can do all things. Don't get me wrong. I believe He can. I believe God can heal. I believe God can do all that stuff. Don't ever think that I don't. But I also know that God has a will. And God knows what's best for every one of us, no matter what it may be, no matter where we may go, what we may say. We serve that kind of a God. Amen? We serve that kind of a God. What kind of a mindset? What kind of a mindset that those kind of preachers put out there? And churches, that is, faith is a tool that can be used as you want it to be used. Because if you had enough faith, you'd be healed, you'd become successful, you'd get the job that you wanted, you'd never suffer, you'd never feel pain. All would be right in your world. Only if you had enough faith. Amen? Only if you had enough faith. That is so wrong. That is so outrageous. And you think for a minute, listen to me. You say, well, Dave, you said, how do people believe it? You ever see the churches? 15, 20,000 people sometime in their churches. And they're preaching this to them week after week. They're on radio. They're on television. No matter how many that they're reaching out there, and people are gathering and thinking this and believing this. I'm here to tell you this morning, try the spirits. Amen? Try the spirits. Because you know what it says? But try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And they are out there today deceiving many. Let's look at something else. All right, so look at the figures in the Bible. You want to talk about faith? Okay. Did Paul have enough faith? Do you think Paul had faith? Well, he ended up being beheaded, right? Huh? Right? What about all the other disciples? You think they had faith? I believe they had faith. I think all of them died martyrs, except for maybe John, and he ended up on the Isle of Patmos until he died. And what about our Lord and Savior? You think Jesus had faith? Huh? What did he say in the Garden of Gethsemane? Whenever it was, he said, Father, if it be thy will, take this cup from me. But if not, thy will be done. Amen? What about us? I don't judge you. You know what? You may be going through an awful lot right now. I don't know. But I'm here to tell you, that doesn't make me doubt your faith. As a matter of fact, the people I just read, it puts you in pretty good company, does it not? Amen? Listen to some of the things in the Bible where people waited for years to get their prayers answered, right? Years before their prayers were answered. That puts you in some pretty good company too. Try the spirits. Try them. Listen, not everybody that you hear preaching is of God. Not everybody that you hear teaching is of God. I had an old preacher tell me this a long time ago. It was over 14th Avenue. It was Danny Jeffries who told me this. He said, Dave, he said, you're going to hear a lot of preaching. He said, you know what you got to do? He said, it's just like a chicken dinner. He said, you take the meat and you spit out the bones. And that's what we got to do. Amen? That's what we have to do. Try the spirits. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. I can say this to you. There are some people that want to give God a piece of paper that has all their wants on it. You know what God wants us to do? Give him a blank piece of paper and say, God, show me what you want done. That's what he wants from us. That is what he wants from you. I tell you what, this morning, I know this, maybe this is hard this morning, maybe it's not, but you know what? I think it's what God wanted preached here this morning. I really do. They come and get a song. I'm done.